Well, dear saints of God, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning, there is a cosmic conflict, right? There was darkness and only darkness. There was nothing. There is no life. There is nothing good that was happening. And there is nothing good that it was going toward. There was just nothing. It was dark. And then what happened? You know how the story goes, right? The earth was without form and void, and darkness is over the face of the deep. Skip ahead a little bit. And then God said, let there be light. Oh, you know where I'm going with this, right? And what happened? There was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. All right. Really deep, hard-hitting question for you this morning. What happens when you flip on a light switch? And there's light, right? Yeah, yeah. I'm really making you think hard this morning, all right? Yeah. And just like I talked about with the kids, all right, when you flip on the light switch, the light doesn't go slowly. It doesn't work in patches, right? The light doesn't leave dark spots where it should be shining. The light doesn't go up to the darkness and ask permission, and it isn't polite. Hey, they seem to want it light in here. Can we work out a deal? Like maybe come back later? No, right? The light just always shines. And by the way, the light also never gets overpowered, right? If it's a light space, you can't flip on a different switch to make it dark, right? And suddenly the lights get overpowered. No. The light always chases away the darkness without fail. That's just how it works. It instantly illuminates. It exposes everything in the room, and it adds color. It adds life. Light always rules over the dark. I'm not saying anything new for you this morning, all right? But it's a good way to think about who we are as people, who we are as God's people, and how He shapes us as disciples. If you want to understand Jesus and what He does for you, you have to understand the cosmic conflict between light and dark, because darkness is the great enemy. In the beginning, it was the absence of creation. And ever since then, darkness has, especially in the Bible, been uncreation. Creation being undone. It's the undoing and end of God's good creation. Darkness is the enemy of God's light. And you look throughout all the Bible, and darkness always brings back the same old tricks. It's darkness that brings death. It's darkness that brings disorder. It's darkness that means that our creation and our bodies are out of whack and they don't work the way they're supposed to work. It's the darkness that brings violence. It's the darkness that brings destruction. It's the darkness that covers our sin. When you want to do something bad, you do it by day. No, when you go rob a bank, you do it when? At night, under the cover of darkness. Nothing good happens at night when you should be in bed, right? It's darkness where we find refuge for our sins to grow and thrive. Darkness is what we're used to. And darkness is what we are complicit in. If you want to know what Jesus does, you have to understand the cosmic conflict between dark and light. And what happens in our gospel reading? Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and this is him fulfilling Isaiah chapter 9, what Tom read for us. It says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Jesus is the light switch. Isn't he? He's God's light switch. Jesus comes on the scene and the darkness just fades away. It's shined away, right? Jesus comes on the scene and his kingdom is the light to darkness. And what does the light do when he arrives? Well, when you read our gospel reading, he does three things. The light of the world, Jesus, works repentance. He creates disciples. And he restores life. So let's talk about those. Jesus is the light that works repentance. Right? Verse 17 says this, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Who here likes to repent? "Hey, God, here's the things I did this last week. They're all yours. Great. Glad I could own those things as my own, right? Glad I could own up." No, it's not very fun, is it? I mean, we just repented. We just confessed our sins a few moments ago. And you know, usually we use the same words week to week, but if you sit with those words and you read those words again, they're kind of hard-hitting, aren't they? Whoa, I am by nature sinful and unclean. I've done things this week, I've done things today that deserve hell. They're hard hitting. We're making a really big confession. And it's no wonder that we like to keep our sins in the dark because we fear exposure. Who here likes being exposed? We don't want people to know. Boy, if we drug a TV up here and we displayed all of your sins that you were guilty of, you know, over your lifetime, maybe just in the last week, I mean, boy, we'd run out of this church, wouldn't we? We don't like being exposed. We want them to stay in the dark because we don't know what that exposure will cost us. You know, it's so often we prefer vague guilt. Yeah, I'm a sinner. We prefer that over honest confession about what's really going on. The kingdom's light, Jesus' light, exposes, but it doesn't expose us to condemn us. Isn't that beautiful? The point is not to condemn. And the point is not to lead you to despair. The point of what Jesus does when he exposes our sins is to give us healing and hope and forgiveness. That's why repentance leads to faith. It's God who creates faith in us. And he creates faith in us by by showing us that what repentance leads to is not death and embarrassment and condemnation, but salvation and forgiveness and life. And that's why you and I, when we repent, we don't repent before the light comes into our lives. We don't repent so that the light would come into our lives. We repent because the light has come into our lives. And that's why we come back here every single week, week after week after week, and we repent again and again and again, right? We come before God, we say the same thing. Yeah, God, I know I was just here last week, but I'm going to say the same confession because I'm guilty of the same stuff, right? And we confess our sins week after week after week because it's here where exposure means refuge. It means forgiveness. And it's here that we come because the kingdom of light is coming again and again and again. The kingdom of light makes repentance. But the kingdom of light also creates disciples. Any disciples here? About as many people as like exposure. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, we're all disciples, right? What happens next in our gospel reading? Starting at verse 18. And so while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus, the light of the world, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," right? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. You know what strikes me about this scene, about how this plays out? Is that when Jesus tells them to follow him, there's no like negotiation, right? Going either way. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm looking for some staff. I'd like to hire some disciples. You guys want to apply for the job? Let's interview. Let's see how you do as disciples," right? But it also didn't go this way. It didn't go, "Hey, you guys follow me." "Oh, okay. How's the pay?" Right? "How long? I mean, my shift was going to end at 4 o'clock, but I want to get home and watch the game. Jesus, how long is this going to take?" No, they didn't say anything, right? Jesus says, "Follow me," and what happens? Immediately, without a word, they just get up and follow the guy. It kind of reminds me, kind of makes me think of those first words that God said, "Let there be light," and it just was. There was light. Jesus says, "Follow me as disciples," and it just happened. They just up and follow him as disciples. You know why I think that is? Because he was calling them out of darkness. And the light chases away the darkness immediately. The call to discipleship is the call out of death into resurrection life. In fact, it reminds me of another call that Jesus made to somebody else. Lazarus, who is dead in the grave. And if you get the right Bible translation, it even says, "Jesus, we don't want to open that because he stinketh," right? Jesus said, "No, open that grave. Lazarus, come out." And immediately, dead Lazarus obeyed. And just like Lazarus rose from the dead because Jesus called him, Jesus calls his disciples, and immediately they come into resurrection life. They rise from their dead lives and they follow Jesus. And by the way, that doesn't make disciples robots. It's not that they lose themselves and they're just robots because Jesus said so and now his word overcomes them and they aren't who they are anymore. No, it's the opposite. It's that when you are in darkness, you are not the person that God made you to be. Look at Lazarus. He was dead. I'm sure that Lazarus, when he rose from the dead, wasn't complaining, yeah, God told me to, now I'm like a robot. No! When Lazarus rose from the dead, he was who he was supposed to be. Alive! Jesus made Lazarus more like himself. And when Jesus calls disciples, both here in the reading and also you and me, the call to discipleship is a call to your real life. The real you. The one that you're supposed to be. The light shapes our life. And what does Jesus call them? Fishers of men. You know, it's interesting. If you look in the Bible, the sea was often considered a dark place. A place of darkness and where you couldn't see the things that were under the surface. And they believe that that's where all the ghosts and all the demons and all the scary creatures came out of the darkness. And so when Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men, it's the idea of bringing other people out of the sea of darkness into the light of Jesus. And so for you and me, on the one hand, that means, yeah, we're all in the business of fishing for people, bringing them out of the darkness and into Jesus' light. But you know what? On the other hand, those disciples, they remain fishermen. They were disciples of Jesus, but they also stayed fishermen. And the same is true for you. You're a disciple of Jesus, but you also keep all your other jobs, right? You're still a mom, still a dad, or a husband or a wife. You're still a son or daughter or brother or a sister. You're still somebody who goes into the office or somebody who drives around and helps people. You're still a friend. You keep all your jobs as a disciple of Jesus. And it's through the things that you do that Jesus calls you to discipleship. He gives eternal importance to even the smallest things of your life. And there was that final way, right? That the light of the world brought light into the world, that Jesus' kingdom shines in our darkness, is that Jesus is the light who restores life. What happened after he called disciples? Verses 23 and 24, it says, he went throughout all Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. They brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. Jesus is God's let there be light again. In a world of darkness, a darkness that's even felt in our bodies, that's felt in death, Jesus is God's let there be light. Jesus is the recreationing, I made that word up, it's a good word, all right, the recreationing of God's creation. He's the dawn of the new, the renewed creation. And so the same voice that spoke light into creation is now speaking life into people's bodies. He's now speaking life into the world. So, last survey question for you this morning. Is anybody here feel like your body doesn't work the way it's supposed to work? All right, now we're going to get deeper. How about your mind? It's okay to point at people this time. How about your heart? Jesus is the light, God's light, who shines his light that gives life again to our bodies and our minds and our hearts. And in the Gospels, Jesus' miracles are just previews of what's coming. If you read something and you say, boy, I wish I could have some of that for my aches and pains or my cancer diagnosis or for fill in the blank. Guess what, dear friend? What's in the Bible are just the Costco samples of what's coming. The light that gives life and restores life to everybody, it's coming for everybody, including you. And so in the meantime, as disciples, we pray for healing because Jesus brings his light in the world. And he might shine his light into our darkness, and he might shine the darkness away, and he might heal us. But you know what? We also, when he doesn't answer those prayers with a yes, we carry our crosses with Jesus. Yep, I've got aches and pains, and I might have them until I die. Yep, this cancer diagnosis might get the best of me. But you know what? I believe in the kingdom of light. And the one who can even shine light into darkness, the one who can even restore the dead to life, is going to do the same thing for me. And so, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to have aches and pains. It's okay to die because the kingdom of light will never be extinguished. There's a cosmic conflict. But Jesus is the light who rules over the darkness. He is the light that has dawned. And that means that because Jesus is the light, you are forgiven. You are called his disciple. And your life is restored. In Jesus' name, amen.